VentureCast.
There's a change happening in the way we live, the way we work, the way we spend our money and make our decisions. We are evolving to be more conscious in our actions in a way that serves the world and makes it a better place. Welcome to The Ethical Evolution. The Ethical Evolution podcast is brought to you by Ethical Change Agency. I'm Bindi, I'm the founder, and my mission is to help ethical entrepreneurs and holistic healers to find their voice through spiritual coaching and podcasting. I'm honored to bring you the stories of those who create change through healing, kindness, innovation, purpose, and spirit. Understanding that to create collective change, we need to be the change. It all begins with us. Matt O'Neill is the charismatic host of the globally acclaimed The Good Mood Show podcast. With his soon-to-be-released book, Choosing Good Moods, Matt reveals the secrets to achieving your best self, conquering challenging emotions, and creating a positive mindset. Beyond his inspiring work, Matt is a dedicated husband and father of four, juggling a thriving entrepreneurial career whilst overseeing a team of nearly 100 employees. His journey is a testament to the enduring power of choosing good moods, demonstrating that lasting peace and happiness are within reach even amidst life's wonderful and occasionally chaotic adventures. I hope this conversation with Matt helps you gain a different perspective on moods and the choices we make and the fact that we can change them at any time. Welcome, Matt, to The Ethical Evolution.
Oh, Bendy, thank you so much for having me today.
Now, I'm excited to have you with us because we're going to be talking all things about moods today, but you're joining us from South Carolina in the States. For those people who don't know who you are and what you do, can you go ahead and tell us?
Absolutely. Yeah. I run a podcast called The Good Mood Show, and the podcast is all about how to feel your best and practical strategies that we all can use to feel better on any given day. I'm also a father of four, and I have three different companies in the real estate space in Charleston, South Carolina.
Wow. You don't do things by halves, did you?
No. No, hey, go big or go home, right?
Yeah, that's right. I can't believe that I have not spoken about moods with someone on this show after 180-something episodes, but I'm glad that you're here and we're doing this because every day, you know, you run into people who are like, oh, you know, I'm in a bad mood today or I can't pick myself up. But one of the things I want us to cover today is this is all a choice for us, isn't it? We're not in a circumstance, it's not happening to us. This is a choice. How did you stumble into this kind of work?
It was a calling. And I totally agree with you, Bendy. It is a choice. And, you know, I think my mom, when I was growing up, my mom used to say that, hey, you can't control what happens to you, but you can control your attitude about it. And so that was kind of, you know, she used to say this all the time as a kid, and I would have bad moods and I still do, right? I'm human. I'm still alive. So if we're alive, we're going to have bad moods. But I think that my mom's philosophy and her continuing to tell me that really sunk in and put me on a path to want to tell others that you don't have to suffer. We don't have to be, we don't have to be feeling bad all the time. We can choose to feel good regardless of what's happening. And there's always something bad happening. There's always a challenge. Like the day, you know, the ego wants to think that we're going to get to this day that everything's perfect. Mm. And we're in this utopia and there's no challenges on this day. And on that one day, that day we'll be happy. The problem is that day might only be one day a year. So that means the other 364, we've got to be upset about something.
And that's it. We go through different emotions and feelings every hour of every day, don't we? Like, this hour we might be happy and the next we might not. But I think we got this programming where we believe that a bad mood is a bad day. It's not, is it?
No, not at all. And, you know, I don't really think there's any bad mood. I think every emotion serves a purpose. So, you know, for instance, the emotion of guilt is considered one of the worst feeling moods where we feel really guilty. but that can direct our behavior. You know, maybe we acted in a way that we're not proud of. And that emotion of that dissonance, that we're not feeling great about the way we acted, that's a teacher for us. Now, I don't want to stay there. I don't want to stay in self-punishment, but I want to extract the lesson from my guilty feeling and then say, how am I going to do better next time? And then move myself back into feeling good by choice.
Mm. And it's funny you should mention guilt, because just before we got online, I got served an ad with Brené Brown. She was talking about the difference between guilt and shame. And it's funny yes. how we don't always know what we're feeling, like, or we don't know how to name it. And mm-hmm. I think our understanding or our comprehension of exactly what we're feeling, what the emotion is, and the fact that it's temporary, we just have never been taught that. Like, we as kids, we're not taught that.
Well, it's not always temporary. You know, my dad, I think, has lived for 76 years in the emotions of shame and anger.
Mm.
You know, so sometimes these emotions are so strong and they kind of become our identity. I've got a family member who spends a lot of time in worry, you know, and it's like, you know, that's fear. And so these emotions can kind of become a security blanket for us too, that we always feel worried. And so that's just the way that we're supposed to feel. That's what's normal for us. And so we worry, but they can pass, you know, and once we have recognition that, hey, these are just, these are emotions that aren't supposed to stay all the time, then we can start to figure out what is it like without this negative emotion. And in the absence of the negative emotions, we really feel joyful.
Mm. And, you know, just tapping back into what you were saying there about your mum and attitude, our upbringing has a lot in how we manage our emotions, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's our inheritance.
Mm.
I truly believe there's a book called The Body Keeps the Score.
Mm.
I believe that we actually inherit the emotional signatures from ancestors we've never met. And I've had experience this with myself. But then, of course, we also model. So it's this nature versus nurture. But I think we have some nature that we're inheriting the ways that our ancestors, our direct line, dealt with situations and their emotions. And then we watch our parents, we watch our role models growing up. And, you know, if my dad was always angry, and he was, then I learned to have a temper. And I just thought, and I labeled myself as someone who has a short fuse, right? But that's not true, because it's not who I am. It was just something I had learned, but it was who I was. And so with the label, it was who I was.
Those labels can be powerful things, can't they?
Oh, absolutely. We got to be very careful what we say after the words I am.
Exactly. Exactly right. So if people are in that space where they're like, oh, I've got a short fuse, or, you know, I've always got a short temper, and they want to actually have better management of their moods, what's some tips that we can give them to help them hack their way through that?
Yeah. So the emotion of anger, that short fuse emotion. There's eight primary negative emotions, and they are shame, which we were talking about the difference between shame and guilt. Shame is this feeling that I am not enough as I am, that there's something inherently wrong with me.
Mm.
And then there's guilt, which we talked about. Guilt is I've done something wrong and I deserve to be punished for it, and I'm going to punish myself. And then the next emotion is hopelessness, this kind of apathy that life will never be better, that it's just no use. Beyond hopelessness is sadness, and we've all known what it feels like to feel sad. Of course, it's a very normal, natural emotion, but again, people can live in sadness, and that's what's known as depression.
Mm.
Or hopelessness and sadness mixed together, and that's depression. And then beyond that is fear. Beyond fear is desire, which is a very good, positive emotion that has a lot of negative sides. And then beyond desire is anger, which we were just saying, hey, this short fuse. But each of these emotions, and the last emotion is pride, which again has positive qualities. They all have a positive side. There's always something useful from them. But if we stay in these emotions, we will be in a bad mood. It will be negative. So that anger emotion is one I'm very intimately familiar with. And the way that you conquer anger is that anger, the first thing, I read this book called Leadership and Self-Deception by the Arbinger Institute. And They said, anytime you're angry, you put yourself what they call being in the box. When you're in the box of anger, you're boxing yourself into this small position, and every word you say in anger, you have to defend, and then you have to justify why everything you just did in anger was actually appropriate to do, even though it may not have been appropriate at all. You might have yelled at somebody. So then you have to be more angry, and then you recruit people not even involved in the situation to say, look at how awful that person was. I'm so justified in the way that I acted in this anger. And so they said, every time you get in the box, your life is going to get a lot worse, because you would rather justify why you're right than be happy. And at that point, you have no interest whatsoever in a peaceful resolution. You have no interest in an apology. In fact, you want the other person to be mean to you so that you can prove that you are right at how awful they are. Once I understood this concept that every time I used anger, I was begging for other people to be worse to me, it was the leverage I needed to start making some change. And so anger can change because it is a second emotion. Anytime we're feeling angry, it is covering up two primary emotions, and those are that we're really hurt or we're really afraid, or a combination of both. And so if you are someone who has a short fuse, the first thing is awareness. Okay, I'm feeling this anger coming over me. For me, I feel like a super tightness in my chest. So if you want to start to conquer anger, notice where it shows up in you as it's approaching. Like, my chest gets really tight and I get this heat that rises up through my neck and into my face. And my voice starts to tremble a little bit and my hands start to tremble just slightly. Right? So these are the physical sensations as I'm starting to feel the energy of anger take me over. And at that moment, that's not a moment for me to speak or send a text or send an email. That's a moment for me to recognize that I'm about to box myself in if I talk at all in this energy. And you had said, hey, these emotions can come and pass. It can. Every emotion is just energy. So this energy is rising up in you, and you don't have to speak. The first thing you can do is you can take the action of just stopping. And when you stop, then you have space to figure out what you want to do next. So the best thing to do is to remove yourself from the situation that's triggering you, and then ask yourself two questions. Where am I feeling hurt? And where am I feeling afraid? And if we can get to the root of the hurt and the fear that has triggered this anger, we can actually deal with the true emotion, and then we can solve it or make appropriate action to make our life better. So, like, a lot of times somebody will say something disrespectful and then you fly off the handle. Like, for me, respect was a big thing. For my dad, respect was a big thing. Well, if somebody said something that he perceived or I perceived as disrespectful, would it, you know, ultimately, why is that anger there? Well, it's probably because I'm feeling hurt at what they said, and I have a wound that I don't think I'm enough already, and I need positive vocal affirmation. So, like, I'm feeling hurt that you said something that was unkind, and then I'm also feeling afraid that maybe it's right and maybe I'm not really worthwhile. Well, man, if I can deal with that shame that I'm not worthwhile as I am, then I can get to true healing of anger. Because as soon as I find out that I'm worthwhile no matter what anyone says, no longer can anyone's words trigger me like that again.
And it's amazing when you do the work, and I'm using air quotes here, do the work, and it's something that we talk about a lot, and people are like, you know, what is this do the work stuff? But it's like when you understand what those triggers are and what your reactions to them are and why, that's really getting to the root of the healing of it, isn't it? I know there was a similar book to the one you mentioned that I went through an exercise like that, and it brought up all these wounds of abandonment and all of this kind of stuff. And I was just like, oh, it's all from my childhood. And I was like, when I got to the root of that, I completely reacted differently in similar situations from then on. And it was like this weight is lifted off you once you get that understanding and can heal those triggers and the way you react to them. It is just so healing.
Well, congrats to you for healing that wound of abandonment. Yeah, that was a big one for me too. So this wound of abandonment, and I think a lot of people have been abandoned in some way in their life, like you have and I have. It's a wound that makes us feel like we didn't deserve love or protection or care, which wasn't true.
Mm.
It's just that when we're a child, we can't understand big things. Like for me, it was a parent leaving the house at age 5. I couldn't understand why I wouldn't have my dad there to protect me. Why didn't he want to be with me? Well, at age 5, you know, we're very egotistical as children because other aspects haven't developed. It's all about us.
Mm-hmm.
And so, well, if he's leaving, it has to be because of me, or there's something wrong with me that I don't deserve him around anymore. And that wound of abandonment is a powerful one that can really drive all of these other behaviors. Mm. So for me, I wanted to do really well and be really successful to prove that I was worthwhile, you know, to earn other people's love and see if I was successful enough, if they would want to stay around.
Mm.
So, you know, from age 5, if I didn't ever discover that, the rest of my life could have just been driven by this one wound.
Absolutely. Yeah, and how that then manifests in your life if you don't heal that, you know, like as you said, is, you know, it impacts your relationships, how you react in those, how they grow or how they don't, even your career and how you show up there, you know, like it's almost like you've got to work twice as hard to be seen and heard and recognized, and it just changes the whole way you show up in life if you can't get to the root of that.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting is that I don't know who said the quote, but it's your life lessons will continue to repeat until you learn them. So
Amen.
For me, mm-hmm. I continued to be abandoned in my career and in my personal life, and I didn't know why. Well, it was because I had a need to understand and heal the wound of abandonment. And so I was continuing to live that same lesson over and over again. My subconscious was manifesting it, or my soul was manifesting it. I don't know which one, but I started a career in real estate and own a real estate brokerage with 50 agents, and they leave all the time. They're called free agents. Mm. No one has any loyalty. Like the average turnover of real estate agents is 30% a year. So, you know, one third of the people that I love in my company are going to leave every year. Very interesting that I chose that as my career, because I had to deal with all these people leaving, and it would hurt so much. And I didn't understand, you know, I just kept saying, oh man, it hurts so much. Like, why was I in it? Well, I think I was in it because I wanted to heal the wound. and eventually I did.
And what a career to do it in.
As you said, the work.
Yeah. So now you've also got a podcast too. Do you want to tell us about that, Matt?
Yeah, absolutely. So my passion is helping people feel good. And so it's called The Good Mood Show. And every Monday I interview somebody like this, like you, Bendy. It sounds like you've got a lot to offer in terms of how to feel good. And I ask them, you know, what they've learned about on their journey to having really good moods. And then an expert calls in once a week on Thursday and just leaves a 5-minute tip, like their one thing that they love that makes them feel good. And so this past week, one of the experts had called in and said she loves brownies for breakfast, and that was her tip: was that it's okay to have brownies for breakfast sometimes, and that can put you in a good mood because you don't always have to be conventional and you don't always have to follow everything to a T. And sometimes it's fun to just be fun. And I thought it was an awesome tip, you know, that, I'm eating my protein shake with my fruit smoothie and I'm trying to be all healthy. And she's advocating for brownies sometimes. And so that's what this show's about. It's just different ways that we can smile. And one of my favorite things that I've learned on this journey is that children laugh 300 times a day.
Mm.
And adults laugh 15 times a day.
Wow.
And if you ask an adult, when was the last time you laughed? They probably don't have an answer.
Mm.
Because we don't remember the 15 times. Like, we just don't focus on this. Like, how do we create happiness?
Mm.
We get so serious. Everyone's so serious. you walked out, you know, you walk into the grocery store, you walk down the street and you see all these sullen looks on everyone's face. One of my buddies just sent a picture. He's on top of a mountain in Whistler, Canada, skiing, like one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen. And he's got this face. And I'm like, dude, you're in the most beautiful place I've ever. Like, I would have a smile ear to ear. But this is a choice. And so I think that also we're these social beings and we mimic and we mirror everyone around us because we want to fit in. And this is a very primal thing about survival, that we mimic and mirror everybody. Well, everybody is unhappy. So when our faces aren't happy and we're not animated, we don't have passion in our life, what we're doing is we're creating unhappiness with our mimicking. And I'm here to break it. I'm just here to tell people it's okay to be silly. It's okay to laugh. It's okay to have fun. It's okay to smile. And it's okay to be loud and boisterous and give people high fives and hugs.
Yeah, well, most people are used to me being a bit of a clown. So there's usually a laugh not far behind me. But
perfect.
You know, and you don't lose anything by giving someone a smile, do you? Really?
No, it doesn't cost anything.
No. And really, I mean, sometimes if you're small, people are going to wonder what you're up to. So just do it anyway. You know, you
got just
nothing.
Do it anyway.
You got nothing to lose.
It doesn't matter. They're going to wonder what you're up to, no matter what you're doing. Everyone's always judging you anyway. So we might as well just live the way we want to live.
Now, you touched on something there that I'm curious about, Matt, and that is, and it's something I've spoken about previously, but, you know, how our energy impacts each other, you know? So, like, if we're all in a room with a bunch of people and, like you're saying, they're all, like, a bit blah and they're, you know, not happy, not joyous or anything like that, they're just meh, that can spread like wildfire, can't it? And we have a choice to break the pattern of that too, don't we?
Oh my gosh, we can so. I love to be an energy change agent. And you know those people that they walk into a room and the whole place lights up because of their light. Mm. When I was in high school, I don't even know who this was, but I walked by a guy. He was an older gentleman, maybe in his 60s. And I could feel this incredible positive energy, this light around this guy. And he was smiling and everybody around him was lifted just by who he was. I don't know why this has stuck with me so long, because I just went over and said hi to him and he said hi to me. And I thought after that encounter, I said, I want to be that. Mm. I want to be that person that you don't even have to know who he is, but just by being in my presence, I want other people to be uplifted. So every morning, one of the rituals I do to start my day is I put my hand on my heart and I close my eyes and I thank God for the fact that my heart is beating today and I get to be here today. And then I visualize every room I'm going to enter. And I visualize the person I want to show up as. I want to be the person. I'm like picturing my day, because we always create things twice, once in our mind and then once in real life. And so I'm using my mind to picture myself showing up in a happy, high energy mood that is uplifting everyone around me. And, you know, it works. So now I walk into my office, you know, with an intention of making people feel good. Our company was rated the number one company to work for in the entire state of South Carolina last year.
Wow. That's awesome.
So, but it's like, is from this one intention. I promise it's nothing more than just having an intention of showing up in a good mood and making other people feel good. But then that ripples, right? I do it and then somebody else does it and somebody else does it and somebody else does it. Well, if I do it every single day, everyone starts to do it every single day. And the whole company now is vibrating at this high level energy of happiness. Mm. And we could do this in any group that we belong to.
And I guess that's the beauty of these podcasts too, Matt, is that, you know, we can spread that energy through the conversations that we're having and pick people up too.
Unbelievable. It's so, like, podcast is so cool. The fact that that anyone who's interested in feeling good or having an ethical evolution can come and learn from Bendy. And now thousands of people all over the globe get to be picked up by your light from your, you know, from your house, right? Mm. And me too. I think it's incredible. Mm. You know, every time I see that, you know, 1,000 people have listened to an episode, I think if you told me that I had an opportunity to get on stage and speak in front of 1,000 people, I would be floored. Like, how cool that I had an audience of 1,000 people. Well, we do it every single week, right? Yep. Like, it's to me, it's just the most amazing thing ever.
I absolutely love it. Now, one other thing that you kind of dove into there as well is gratitude. Like, that is probably a really important part of your day too, because that can really influence your mood and how your day sort of pans out, doesn't it?
Gratitude is one of the 8 signature positive emotions. And, you know, it was 2005 and I saw the movie The Secret by Rhonda Byrne. And Rhonda said, every morning I wake up and the first thought on my mind is intentional. I put my left foot on the ground and I say, thank. And I put my right foot on the ground and I say, you. And then every step I take, I say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, that day I cut out a t-shirt, like a white t-shirt, and I wrote with a marker, thank you, in huge block letters. And I grabbed duct tape and I taped this makeshift sign on the floor next to my bed to remind me that the next day I was going to say thank you when I stepped on the floor. And I get home and my wife says, so I see you've done some redecorating. She has to deal with all of my little signs and signals and you know, but in such a positive way too, right? She gets the benefit of all of these little signs and rituals. So I still have a sign next to my bed that has now been, you know, 20 years. Wow. There's still a sign next to my bed that says thank you. And every morning, my first thought is thank you. You know, I took it a step further. I bought Rhonda's gratitude journal. And I think the key with a gratitude journal, so I've been doing a gratitude journal, or it's just at least a gratitude practice to start my journaling for the last 20 years as well. But the key is that you need to write 3 new things you're grateful for.
Yep.
Because it can become rote and boring. Like, oh, okay, well, I'm grateful for my family, I'm grateful for my health, I'm grateful for my career. Well, if you say that every single day, no longer do you really mean it. And so gratitude, you'll start to create new connections in your brain if every morning you say, what are 3 new things today I'm grateful for? Well, now you start to be grateful for everything, because you have to be, because to come up with 3 new things every single day for 20 years, you have to start to be grateful even for your problems. Like, oh man, I'm so grateful for that person that triggered me yesterday because it helped me on my path to growth. You know, I'm really grateful for the fact that somebody invented the automobile. I'm grateful that somebody picked the apple that I get to eat this morning, right? Like there's gratitude can get really nuanced, and we can start to be grateful for absolutely everything.
And that's it. We just take so much for granted. And if we could just take a moment just to be grateful for the little things, like, they can be so minute, but they, by doing that, they can become so big. And I think, just having that practice, like, changes your whole mindset.
Do you do it as well, Bendy?
I do.
Have a gratitude practice?
Yeah. Yeah. Mine's generally at the end of the day more so than the beginning. If I can just get at least one little thing, one of my favorite things to do is to watch a sunset. Like, they're my big thing, sunrise, sunset. And so that's usually where you'll find me, you know, looking at my gratitude.
Just tears of gratitude, like, oh, it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Sunsets and sunrises are magical, aren't they? You know, I'll give you a story about gratitude. There's 2 that come to mind. One is, there's a guy named Nick Santansasso, who was born with just 1 arm and 1 finger and no legs. And he's a motivational speaker, and he tells this story about how people look at him funny. And one day he was on an airplane and going to speak somewhere, and these 2 ladies were whispering, and they said, how gross, how ugly. I can't believe it. Ugh. And he turned his head out the side of the plane and just started crying. And he was just so sad. And in that moment, he, again, because our attitude is a choice, he started to be grateful for what he did have.
Mm.
And he said, you know, one of the things I'm so grateful for is that I get to be in an airplane. I get to go outside and see the sunshine. He said, there are people stuck in a hospital bed that will never get out, that will never get to see the fresh air again, that will never get to see the trees again. And I get to do that. And so I think, you know, that Nick's story really like hit me in a powerful way, because of course I would look at someone who had only one arm and no legs and say, man, I don't know if I could do that.
Mm.
But you know, no matter what our circumstances are, if we're alive, it's a blessing. And there are other things that we can do today that are a blessing because we're still here. The other story is from the book Tuesdays with Maury.
Mm.
Are you familiar with that one?
Mm-hmm.
Maury Schwartz, I actually met his son. He came to Charleston and I got a chance to interview him. But the book was so powerful to me. And I asked his son about this. His name is Rob. And I said, Rob, you know, at the end of his life, he had ALS.
Mm.
And he couldn't get off the couch. He couldn't get off of his medical bed. But he said that he had the chance to look out the window at this beautiful maple tree. And every day that he still got to see this tree, he would cry tears of gratitude that he got to see the tree again. And I just think it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful because we, regardless of how tough our circumstances are, we can choose to find gratitude.
Yeah. And, you know, it's the tiniest things, just like you've described there. And, you know, I think if anybody can take anything from our conversation today, that would be one thing to add to your day if you can, is just to, you know, find a little bit of gratitude in everything. Find a blessing somewhere.
Tony Robbins said that it's not always easy, it's not always possible to go from a bad mood to a good mood. But gratitude is the gateway between bad moods and good moods.
Mm.
And so if we find ourselves in a bad mood, we can't just all of a sudden put on a happy face and say, I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy, because that would be disingenuous. So that it's, but we can go from, you know, I'm feeling pretty sad and down to I'm going to start to choose to be grateful. And then from gratitude, we then can find happiness and joy again.
Mm.
And so gratitude is this beautiful gateway between bad moods and good moods.
That makes absolute sense to me. Now, Matt, if people want to actually check out your podcast and find out more about you and get in touch with you, where can they go?
Yeah, you know, Apple or Spotify or wherever you love podcasts, just look for The Good Mood Show. And I'd love for you to come check out an episode and lift your spirits.
Sounds like fun. Have you got a website as well, Matt, people could check out?
Yeah, goodmoodshow.com.
Awesome. Well, that was easy, wasn't it? Now, I got the last big question for you. What's the change you'd like to see in the world, and how can we bring it to life?
Yeah, you are being it, Bendy. The change I want to see in the world is that that each of us says, how can I bring the most light to the day today? And Bendy, every time you get on this microphone, you are being that change yourself. And, you know, I love what you say in your intro to ethical evolution, that we need to be the change we want to see in the world. And so, I think it's just waking up every day for each of us and saying, how can I be the light today?
Mm. Thank you. Thank you for that feedback. I love that. And that just is, I guess, the motivation we all need to be that light every day and to show up and just to keep striving for change to make the world a better place.
Absolutely.
Matt, I have loved every single second with you. Thank you so much for being a part of the Ethical Evolution.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I love your show.
Thanks for listening to the Ethical Evolution podcast. If you're ready to be the change and would love to work with me on finding your voice through spiritual coaching or creating your own podcast with impact, visit ethicalchangeagency.com. If you're enjoying the show, please subscribe to the YouTube channel. It's growing every day with great content and highlights you may not have heard on the podcast. In addition, please subscribe to the podcast on Spotify or Apple, and why not leave a 5-star review? If you're not following me on social media, you can find me at Ethical Change Agency on Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, and YouTube, and at DJ Bindi on TikTok and Instagram. If you're interested in diving deeper into the ethical evolution with me, I've created a membership program that allows me to bring you more in-depth exclusive content without relying on paid ads. My goal is to deliver members way more value than the cost of the subscription. Benefits include Ask Me Anything episodes. I've interviewed hundreds of people from around the world, so imagine what you could ask. Access exclusive bonus content only for members that focuses on the downloads I get through my conversations that include actionable tips. Support Ethical Change Agency and the Ethical Evolution podcast on its mission to amplify change makers who make the world a better place. Access to global connections who can help you make greater impact in the world. Meditate with me and discounted spiritual coaching or podcast consulting with me at 15% off. That value alone pays for your membership. For only $7 a month or $70 a year, you can access all these benefits of an Ethical Evolution Emergence membership. If you want to learn more and access these benefits, head on over to ethicalchangeagency.com.
Have you ever wondered what actually happens in Congress every day? Stay informed on Capitol Hill's daily happenings with a concise, factual summary of the Senate and House of Representatives' activities from the previous session, free from bias, on the Congressional Record Daily Digest podcast. Subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and discover the process from the heart of U.S. politics. The Congressional Record Daily Digest, an Electricast production.
Welcome to the Candle Power Hour. Come with us backstage, behind the scenes of show business spanning over 4 decades and bringing you the experiences that can only be told by the people who were there.
Our guests are from the A-list, the F-list, and everyone in between. Get set for some of the most insane, hilarious, and inspiring stories you will ever hear.
I'm Mercury.
And I'm Diego.
Your host for the Candle Power Hour.